1515 app probably presents the Wrestling Roundtable, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly. The weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and what was just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Stuart the Pro.
It's Miller.
Raw took place in St. Louis. I just want to shout out to all you St. Louis people, and I want to let y'all know that Miller was just talking shit about y'all.
No. I like St. Louis. I'm not a Nelly fan. I never was a Nelly fan. I'm not going to pretend. I respect what he's done, and I respect that he sold records at that time.
Nah, man, he said, fuck St. Louis and everything they stand for. Right, if y'all want motherfuckers, if you don't want motherfuckers all in the videos, dancing, bring your ass over to 1559.
So anyway, I don't have a problem with St. Louis. I actually have family in St. Louis. I enjoy it. My niece is in St. Louis. Shout out, come. But I, as you were singing Nelly, you can find me in St. Louis, and I expressed that I was not a fan.
I know. You was a real Chingy fan. That's what that was.
Oh, didn't like that either. See, this is what I'm, all I'm saying is that I was waiting for the hood dudes to pop from St. Louis, and it didn't happen.
What about old boy? His song was dope. Damn, what's his name? He had the messed up mouth because he got his jaw broke. Damn, what was dude's name? Oh, that's gonna mess with
it's me. Gonna bother you.
That's gonna bother
you. Well, I will tell you, I liked Click Tight, although they're from East St. Louis. I like Click Tight, and the only reason I like them is because they diss Nelly. But, doesn't matter. I don't know who you're talking about. Huey?
No, not Huey. Was his name Huey? No, I don't think his name was Huey.
Was Huey even from St. Louis?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. What was dude's name, though? Nah, it wasn't him.
I got nothing for you.
He was from Missouri, though. Kenlock, Missouri. Okay. Which is probably close to St. Louis. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I'll figure out that motherfucker's name. When I do, I will let you know. Because I know, because the song, I can picture the video, but now I can't even think of the song name. Oh, that shit's gonna bother me. Anyway, St. Louis Blues. Used to have the St. Louis Rams, which is no longer
a thing.
What? Used to have St. Louis Cardinals, too, so.
They got the Cardinals. Used to have the St. Louis. They still have the St. Louis Cardinals. What do you mean?
But didn't the Chicago Cardinals
move to St. Louis first? Oh, I see what you're saying. You gotta be.
Before they moved it, my fault.
You gotta be very.
I was talking about football.
Okay.
Yeah, my fault.
They also have. They had a basketball team, the St. Louis Flyers, or was it the St. Louis
Spirits?
It was the Spirits. I just remember it being winged.
Jaquan. That was that dude's name.
Oh, everybody in the club get tips.
Damn, I know Murphy. Oh, not Murphy. I know who Murphy Lee is, yeah.
Everybody in the club gets tipsy. Okay, so I did mess with Jaquan because when I listened to his album, I was like, okay, he talking about, I can deal with dude. This ain't all party stuff.
Yeah.
So Jaquan was one. But after that, I didn't really fool with nobody.
Yeah.
I was all right. I wanted the hood stuff. That's what I was waiting on.
Yeah.
And it just never happened. I'm not saying ain't no hood dudes out there that's cold. It's just they never popped. So, and we didn't have the internet then, so.
But now he was kind of, he was a hood dude. He just didn't make.
The only song he had that I could get down with was Greed, Hate, and Envy. That was my song. He killed that song. Yeah. Looked around and had a small Walgreens. I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And then he let me down.
Yeah.
You drop down and get your eagle on.
What was that song? Ugh. What was that song Chingy was? He was on that song with Ludacris.
Got them guns.
Yeah. His
everybody
was,
got them. Yeah.
He had a hard verse.
He did have a hard verse.
He had a hard verse on it.
He
probably did.
Come on, man. It's the rapper in me. I apologize.
Yeah. Then he, you know.
And then right there.
And his career kind of just went downhill. And then,
went down to her.
But then he was messing with Sydney Starr.
I have no clue who that is.
Oh. Okay.
Oh,
so,
was that the whole thing with if that's what he likes. All I'm saying is, just keep it 100, bro.
Not judging.
Nope.
Don't care. Doesn't bother me whatsoever.
You do what you do, bro.
But, you know, hey.
He's a TS hunter.
Here's my only, here, yo, look. Here's my only thing about it. I just know how I am sexually and stuff. Don't tell me you did not know that this was a dude. I'm just saying. Don't tell me if you are having sex with this person. You cannot tell me that you don't know that this is a guy. I mean, I'm just saying. Look. You know, maybe because I don't have much anal sex. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm just.
I wasn't ready for you to
hold
go
on,
there.
Hold like, on. I had to.
Wow. This podcast took a turn.
No, I had to. Look, man. No, I'm just saying, accept who you are. You know what I mean? Don't deny it. I don't care. Your career wasn't going to pick back up any damn way. Just accept what you are. That's all it is. You know you like you some Sydney Star, but you know, Sydney Star got some dick and balls. Then if that's what you into, that's what you into. I'm just saying, dude, look, nope, don't lie to me. That's all I'm saying. Be honest. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Can't tell me you've having sex with a transsexual and then you don't know that this is a transsexual.
That's no the only part thing. Of I'm you, like, how could you not?
No part of you said, how come you not letting me get you in the vagina? Like, no part of you said that.
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm just saying. No part of you said, man, I want to see what that vagina tastes like. I'm just saying.
This show's got really graphic, man. Yo, yeah, I wasn't ready for this when I came in here.
Look, that's the reason why I said I know how I am sexually, yo. Like, no part of you said, hey, I want to feel how wet it is. Something.
Oh, my God. This guy's...
Look,
this is not safe for work whatsoever. This is definitely, hey, no kids.
Hey, you know what? For the longest time, I did not know what NSFW meant.
Oh, man.
I did not know. I said, why the fuck do I keep seeing this stuff? Like, they sit there and have a video and it said NSFW. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what NSFW means. So I Googled it one day and that's how I found out that it meant not safe for work. But anyway, nice. But we do put the parental thing on there, so
we do.
We do say explicit. So, unfortunately, if you don't like me talking about vagina, and
I'm 12,
yeah. Hey, look,
I was just trying to explain to Allie how you used to do me all the time and be like, "Look, this guy laugh at anything. See, watch boogity boo," and then I start rolling. And I was like, "Come on, man, stop doing that! Like, that's not funny for a guy to just randomly go dumb dumb diddy or something. Like, that's crazy, man."
Yeah,
always do that to me, and people be looking at me like, "He is crazy." I'm not crazy.
Yeah, dude, we used to get you in trouble in class all the time.
Oh my god, y'all were ruthless.
Yeah, we'd be yelling out "pussy" or "pig."
Oh my
god. We'd be yelling out "pig pussy." Remember?
Yeah, and then be right in the trouble.
And then Mr. Miller would be looking at you like, "Jamar,
what?" And like, it was them. They said it, not me. Why am I in trouble?
Oh, man. I used to be yelling out "big black penis." Like, I got a big black penis.
And I'm supposed to not laugh. You know what I'm saying? 15, 16-year-old Jamar not supposed to laugh.
The crazy part is, we would say it so loud that he never understood us saying what we were saying. You one that always got in trouble, though, because you would laugh.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The bane of my existence.
Yeah. But anyway, for real, though, shout out St. Louis, though. If you ever go to St. Louis, you got to visit, I believe it's called Crown Candy. They actually do like this. They actually have a malt challenge. Yeah, which for real, if you can do that, shout out to you, though, for real, because I couldn't handle one. It's way too thick.
Mm.
And, you know, malts and shakes are...
Yeah, it's too different.
Malts are a lot thicker. Oh, man. They're good as shit, though. You know, but them things are thick. Pappy Smokehouse. Gotta have Pappy Smokehouse. That barbecue sauce off the chain.
Barbecue sauce.
That brisket. Off the chain. Those sweet potato fries, man. Those sweet potato fries with the barbecue sauce, bruh, life changing. No, for real, that shit is good as hell. Sweetie pies, but I heard they're original sweetie pies. They, you know, don't go to all the other ones that they have. The original sweetie pies is the one that's good. It's much like I remember being down in Memphis and, you know, a lot of people say it's the original Gus's Chicken, like, that's the one you want to go to when you want to try Gus's Chicken. You don't want to go to the other one. You want to try the original. So, but yeah. But anyway, that's all in. Enough about St. Louis and Chingy and his extracurricular activities. If you don't know who Sydney Starr is, just Google it. You'll find out who she is. She's actually from Chicago, too.
Who is?
Sydney Starr.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think we went to, I think we ran into her one time before. Like, on some real shit. I got to ask real, because I'm pretty sure we was at a club one time and she was there. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about St. Louis and all that shit. Moving on. Do you have a match to watch for a second?
I do, actually. It was on the debut episode of Major League Wrestling Fusion, which is on the BN Sports Network. It was a really good show. The standout match was the tournament finals for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship between Shane Strickland and Matt Riddle. It was a really, really good match. Shane Strickland has come a long way. Anybody who's been watching him since the beginning, he was in CZW. I believe he actually trained in CZW. And he was a high flyer. But his style has developed into so much more now. People who aren't familiar with Shane Strickland by that name, if you watch Lucha Underground, he's Killshot on Lucha Underground. So you may remember his, I believe it was like Guerrilla Warfare match or something along those lines that he had. Was it against Ricky? No, it was against AR Fox, which I'm not sure what AR Fox's name was on Lucha Underground. But beside the point, Strickland and Riddle have great chemistry. They're actually having a rematch in Evolve, not for the Major League Wrestling Championship, but they're going to have a match in Evolve in Chicago. Just all around, just, man, really good match, really good back and forth. I don't know what else to say. I'm really excited for Major League Wrestling. I think it's going to be a good alternative to everything that's out there on TV. And then I also have a show to watch for. Bound by Honor is going to be this weekend. It's going to stream on the Honor Club. A lot of different matches on that show. I believe the Briscoe Brothers defend the World Tag Team Championships against Motor City Machine Guns. Shane Taylor versus Josh Woods. That's going to be dope. Young Bucks are going to be on there. Everybody's going to pretty much be on there. So
okay,
it's definitely a show that you should check out. If you don't have Honor Club, it is only $9.99 a month. And you basically get the house show streamed along with all the rest of the shows. It is. All the pay-per-views and whatnot.
Yeah. That's it?
Yeah,
that's all for the news and rumors? My bad. Don't mind me. I'll be fucking up sometime. I just fucked up right now.
Crazy.
Yeah. Also, you know what? I forgot to mention. I wanted to mention at the top of the show, Meek Mill out. Did you see that?
It's free.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it was coming, so I'm not super.
Yeah. Sure. You know what? They thought it was going to happen a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And then the judge denied it.
Mm-hmm.
And they was just like, come on, chick. You wilding, yo. Well, like, all the evidence says you need to let this guy out.
Yeah.
And you still just being a, yo.
Are you shocked? Just saying.
Nah, she tried to get this man to pay for her son's college tuition.
Yeah. Are you shocked? Again, are you shocked?
Nah, she told him. This is the part I'm shocked. Asking him to remake Boys to Men. What was that song? Uptown something? Mm-hmm. That was crazy. That's crazy. And then to shout her out in the song.
I'm not shocked, man.
Yo, this movie was nuts, yo. They even told her, like, look, you even have the case period. He's not even going to be on probation anymore. The case period has to be dropped because the cop was crooked.
Yep.
He was in over 80-something cases where they have to drop all charges because this dude was crooked. And yet, you still was persistent on keeping this dude behind bars.
You know how this system works.
Yeah, man.
Like, not to make it, I'm not saying that it's a pass. It's just, none of this ever surprises me.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. You know how this system works. It's not for us. Ever. No. Unfortunately.
Yeah. And you would, you know, and she was a sister too. So you would think, you know, but whatever. Moving on. News and rumors. He's going to the Phillies game tonight too, by the way.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that at my funeral, somebody play, I'm a boss. Just somebody do it. That's, I'm phone and grave, and I'm a boss. That's it. That's all I need.
What about dreams and nightmares, though?
Huh? No, yeah. I don't want y'all to get emotional. I want y'all to turn up. So you put dreams and nightmares.
That song is due to.
It's going to get you. That's what I'm saying.
It's emotional at first. Yeah,
it's emotional.
It's emotional at first.
You know.
And then you get that, then you get hype. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Every time I'm on the treadmill and I'm running mountains like crazy, that's one song that I always play. And I always play it after a certain point because, you know, you start to die down. So, like, say if I'm running like a half marathon or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I'll play that song after mile 6. So then it give me back hype to continue and keep running and shit. Oh, man, that's the song. But anyway, what's your news and rumors, though?
Not a lot going on, obviously, with the greatest Royal Rumble coming up. But there's a story about Vince McMahon basically planting fake news, which is why we got so many varying stories about who would show up at the Royal Rumble. Because they didn't name the leaker by name, but they basically weeded out whoever's been leaking information to Sports Illustrated in hopes that they can stop, you know, some of the dirt sheets, you know, the Dave Meltzer type mm-hmm. stuff. I think dirt sheets are always going to be around. There's always going to be people who predict what's going to go on and claim that they have the source.
And it's sports entertainment.
Right.
It's just like, in sports, you know, you want to know the news and rumors. You want to know who may be getting traded, who's on the chopping block to get cut. You know, people go out their way to get their sources to figure this out. I mean, you just got to understand. That's their job. That's what they're going to do.
Agree. But in the end of the day, I think it was, I get it. And it was pretty smart, actually, by Vince, if you ask me how they did it.
No, it's only smart if the shit that you putting out there was worse than the shit that you put on TV.
Okay, you're looking way too far into it. I'm not looking that far.
I know, but
I'm looking at the situation, and he goes, you guess what?
But you wrote great fake news.
Hey, I mean, he's aligned with the orange guy, so there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Anyway. Damn.
Keeping it 100. Keith Lee dropped the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Championship this weekend at All-Star Weekend Night 2 to Walter. Anybody who's not familiar with him, he's in Ring Comp. He's dope. I don't know how to explain it. He's shown up in Progress, Rev Pro, World Extreme, West Side Extreme Wrestling in Germany. But he dropped the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Championship fairly quickly to Walter, which leads people to believe that Keith Lee is probably signing with WWE, and that's the rumor going around.
Already?
Yeah. From what I heard,
they wanted Moose, I know, at one point. But
yeah, but
obviously with that situation.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he won't show up again, because, I mean, he's really good friends with Apollo Crews and Ricochet, so you never know with Moose.
Yeah.
Maybe later down the line. If not, maybe he'll return ROH, you know. But with Keith Lee,
I think he should return to ROH.
Yeah, we'll see. With Keith Lee, though, he really impressed in his match against Cassius Ohno at the Access when they had some of the Evolve people show up. And I think it was a tournament match, who would get a championship shot at the UK Championship. Regardless, he really impressed, and I think that was what made that happen. Because I don't remember him being at the last camp. I remember Austin Theory from Evolve being there, but I don't remember them talking about Keith Lee being there.
Yeah.
A lot of people asking questions why there are no women matches at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Reason being is in Saudi Arabia they have... let me say this. Triple H put out a statement, and he talked about, you know, because people were criticizing them about the women's revolution and then still doing a show in Saudi Arabia where women's rights are kind of non-existent, per se. The reason why I say per se is it's a cultural thing. And that's kind of what Triple H explained. Though we don't agree with it, I'm going to say 100%. You know me. Mm-hmm. I'm all about everybody being equal. I don't care what you are, color.
I don't care what you do.
Woman.
In your life.
Transsexual. Look, bisexual. I'm like Jim trisexual.
Carrey. Yeah, I'm like Jim Carrey on Kick-Ass 2. He said, what you put in and out of your mouth is no concern of ours.
I got to remember. I see Kick-Ass. I got to remember that line, but I love it, and I want it on the shirt now.
It was part two. It was part
Man,
two.
Man,
yeah.
Bro. Hey, look. I love that quote.
Yeah. What you do is, hey.
It has nothing to do. All I care about is the content of your character. If you're an ass, then I don't like you. If you're not, as Jim Smallman says with Progress, don't be a dick. That's all I ask. Yeah. But anyway, in Saudi Arabia, their laws are a little bit different. They are strict, a strict Muslim culture. And in that, however, they've made progress. I'm not defending or whatever. I'm just saying they've made progress. And Triple H stated, he was like, you know what? We're not going to not go places just because their culture is a little bit different. We're going to try to extend our message, and this is part of the way to do it. Because he was saying, you know, we're not going to change that we're doing a women's revolution. We'll still present our product. He's like, and they're making strides. And they are. Women are able to drive again. I know it's not a huge, or not drive again, drive at all. They're able to drive now. And I believe they're able to work, because I think that was a thing, too. You couldn't work, or you could only work certain jobs. So they're making changes. Are they changes that we are used to or want or see how they should be? Not necessarily, but everything is progress. You know what I mean?
And but so you can't expect them to all of a sudden 100% do the
360. You can't. And
or 180, I think.
Yeah, 180. If it was me, personally, I wouldn't have done the show just because I think it's contradictory to the message you're trying to send and you're pushing as a business with the women's revolution. You feel me? But in the end of the day, the businessman in me, the college graduate, the bachelor degree management guy goes, I get it. It's the bottom line. It's the money. The prince put the money up, and they're like, look, we can use this money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the end of the day, it's a business, and unfortunately, money trumps, no pun intended, a lot. So it is what it is.
Money trumps morals at times.
In business, it does.
We know this. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Look, I tell people all the time, and I would never waver or go any other direction with this. If Ray Rice was still a 1,200-yard rusher, doesn't matter how much he had knocked his woman out, he would have had a job.
Yeah.
He was starting to get trash, and they said, fuck it, you out of here. That's just really what that was. Ray Rice really only being blackballed from the NFL was because he was trash.
Well, as my dad would say, he wasn't worth the trouble. It was like,
right,
we could just plug somebody in here, so why are we going to...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's because, how it is. You're only as good as what you last did when it comes to sports and business.
Right, because you can't tell me, on the other end of the spectrum, now we go to Adrian Peterson, right? What he did was just not, or if not, more atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, he didn't get dropped. Matter of fact,
they defended him. Well, you know, he's whooping his kids with switch. Okay, but we're past the whooping kids with switches stage, bro.
No, but that wasn't even the problem.
No, bro. I know that's not the problem, like, but we're talking about the roots. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about the beginning, but I get what you're saying.
But it's, the problem is, like, dog, you left cuts and scars on his scrotum, yo. Like, you deserve to get your ass beat for that.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Like, this is on some...
That's more than a whooping. And then you know, not to make a whole thing of this, you're an NFL player, bro.
Yeah.
And clearly you forgot you were an NFL player. It's just like, if I'm mad at my daughter, I got to remember I'm a man.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So as mad as I am, you know, even with my voice sometimes, I have to remember with her I'm a man. Because that situation may make me super mad, but it may not be warranted for me to scare the damn shit out of her with my...
Every once in a while,
you see what I'm saying? Sometimes they need it, but I'm just saying, you know, you spill the milk, I don't need to be like, ah, but I might be having a bad day, and I'm like, ah, it just doesn't equal out. So you know, the situation has to warrant the punishment, and from, you know, the situation that we know of, as far as on our end, it just didn't warrant it. And then again, we're in an age where, you know, you're going to get a switch. We're still doing that? Like, come on, guys, we're past that.
But, you know, and we always can go back to Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, we can always go back to that.
Or to segue back into wrestling. We talk about wrestling. Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah.
He needed him. Jimmy Snuka was a huge draw. So Vince was like, well, shit, I can't. I mean, if you want to be 100%, if he would have been able to get out of the whole steroid thing, if Vince would have been able to get out the whole steroid thing, Hulk Hogan would have never went to WCW. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. He would have did whatever he had to do to keep him there because he knew that's where the money was. Mm-hmm. So, in the end of the day, all in all, the moral of the story
look
is...
Look how many times what's-his-name failed drug tests, but look, he wasn't trying to get rid of
anyone. I mean, Shawn Michaels could have been under the influence in certain matches, but he was the draw.
Yeah.
So, it was like, we got to figure this out. Yeah. Whereas, if it was, you know, Skinner...
Right.
You'd be like, yeah, you're out of here. Yeah, we ain't got no time for this. Yeah. It's all about what
you do. They used to make himself throw up?
Oh, draws.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was them.
Right. So
it was, those people, you just get like, all right, you ain't worth the headache. Right. Fuck about it. And that's just and I say that all the time, even in business. There's certain things, not outside of the sports world, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, we just talking about just businesses, period. You know, you're gonna sit there and forgive those who go make you that shitload of money. You only drop those who's gonna make you lose a shitload of money. That's just really the reality of the situation. If we can get to a situation where, man, this is forgiven, then you're not dropping people and shit. Think about the Kobe Bryant situation. All the endorsements he lost until they realized that, well, maybe he didn't do what she said he did. And he got all this shit back. Because all could be forgiven at that point, because now you started to realize there was a lot of holes in her story that you could poke. Just think about Enzo Amore. Alright, if Vince McMahon feel like he can still draw, he gonna be back in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the idiotic moves that he made. You know, but anyway, was that all the news and rumors you had?
That's it.
That was it. Just that one thing.
Joey, Janela, and Penelope are all in, so they're gonna be on All In. That's gonna be dope. Excited about that. That's all I got.
Yeah. So, are you going to the thing?
I'm still trying. I'm trying to get credentials.
Man, you're not. I'm talking about the press conference that they want
to
have.
Yeah, I'm trying you to know how long. It's how only long, 50 people.
I know. You know how long you're going to be waiting in line.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be waiting forever.
Like, you have to camp out.
I got nothing to do. It's Mother's Day. Allie's got to work. My mama live in Arizona. My grandmama, rest in peace. I got nothing to do. I got all day.
You got your sister.
Y'all busy. Huh?
You got your sister.
She ain't my mama.
Yeah, now you got to show us some love, dog.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. Here's your son. What the hell? All right. Look, I'm not one of those. Look, okay, let me.
You know you have to camp out from Saturday if you want to be one of those.
Oh, probably. I mean, I'm gonna know when I get up there if it's gonna be worth it or not. Like, oh, okay, this ain't gonna work. No. And if it's not, it's not. It is what it is. It's not like they were gonna give me $1 million.
No.
But I'm saying I got all day, so we'll try it out and see what happens. I ain't worried about it.
Anyway, let's get right into these quick hits. Raw took place in St. Louis. We open up the show with Brock, with actually paying the tribute to Bruno Sammartino. God rest his soul. Passed away this past week. Not this week, but the last week, obviously. And then after that, they open up the show with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman cuts a good promo. Roman Reigns comes out, confronts Brock Lesnar, keeps it very short, walks out the ring, and that's how we end that segment. Just basically saying that I promise you I'm going to take the Universal Champion back from you and shit like that. Next, we had Elias defeat Bobby Roode. I can see this being a very interesting, good feud happening. We'll see where that goes. I really want Bobby Roode to turn back heel, though. I like him heel way more than I like him as a babyface. Next, we had Woken Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt defeat The Ascension. Then we had Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre defeat Titus Worldwide. Chad Gable defeated Jinder Mahal. Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley defeated Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they had, what did they call the segment? I don't even remember what they
the
called
it. The Sami and Kevin show, or the Kevin and Sami show.
Okay. They had their segment, which was done really well. They invited Kurt Angle out. Kurt Angle's, just with his facial expressions and everything, I felt like he sold everything.
Yeah, that they like, was what in. The hell?
And You know, his get back was, okay, I'm going to have you in a match with Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. How about that? That's my gift to you. And so, obviously, that turned out to them losing. Next, we had Baron Corbin attacking No Way Jose after he told him that, no, you got all these people here with you. So, I'm supposed to get in a match, and then what if they interfere, basically, and shit. And so, no, I'm not going to have a match with you right now unless you get rid of these people and shit. And then he goes and he attacks him later on. Next, you had the Intercontinental Champion Seth Rollins and Finn Balor defeat the Mysterage. The Mysterage was hilarious in this episode this past week. Only because they were trying to join the Balor Club, and then they were trying to join forces with Seth Rollins.
That was funny.
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
I was just hoping that you know what? I have a feeling that they're going to end up joining Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
I hope so. Well, I hope that, I really hope that WWE can really get behind Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel again. Because, man, Curtis Axel was so good when he was with Paul Heyman. Just his wrestling skill is there. And I think even now with Curtis Axel, I think he's getting better on the mic and handling the mic. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see when his WWE contract is up. Is he going to be a WWE lifer where he's going to be there to just put over talent and just have that as a job? Or is he going to leave and go to the independents and see if he comes up with a different persona and reinvent himself? Because his in-ring talent is there. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And anybody ever want to question what's the name's I was going to call him Bo Dallas, but the other guy, Curtis Axel. If you ever want to question his wrestling acumen, I'm telling you, just go back when he first got called up and was wrestling, and he was aligned with Paul Heyman, and he won the Intercontinental title and shit like that. Just go back to that, and I'm telling you, this dude was good. Bo Dallas is good too. Although I just never seen his character going beyond mid card. But anyway, moving on. Then next, we got a 5-on-5 women's tag match. We had Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, and the Riot Squad, which consists of Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan, going against Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Natalya, Ember Moon, and Alexa Bliss beat them via disqualification. Because, obviously, Ronda Rousey comes out to check on her friend Natalya, and Mickey James just kind of provoked the situation even more. I think she kicked her or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then,
baseball slide.
Yep. So then Ronda Rousey wasn't having it and put her in the arm bar. And I don't know if she broke it or just hurt it. Who knows what WWE is trying to write these days. I don't know. Just don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. But anyway, that was Raw from St. Louis. Your Raw, sir.
My Raw. I really did like the Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match. The reason being, it was good back and forth. Even yes. Sami Zayn getting in some spots against Lashley, I thought for sure it was going to be some kind of squash. Or
you know, the crazy thing is for whatever reason, they're allowing Bobby Lashley to get in there and he just actually wrestles with them. Yes. It was a couple of spots, though. I feel like I wanted to say, Bobby, you're not in the TNA ring anymore.
Yeah, but he's getting, you know what, I think he's getting it back. It's a different style, and he wasn't wrestling on the most, he was wrestling on a consistent basis, but he would take those breaks for his MMA fights. I think he's getting back to the WWE style, because I noticed a couple times he had to adjust himself for the cameras. You got to get used to that again, because you don't do it. And so it's like,
it was the angles he was trying to get on the rope. Yeah. And I was just like, It's not that
octagon garbage.
No,
it's the six sides. None of that. So, was that a septagon? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I like the fact that they let everybody kind of, even Braun, you know, he was having offense against him. So they made everybody look decent. The reason why it was Tag Mania yesterday is because obviously they try to keep people fresh when you got a long-ass flight like that and then a big show. But for what it was and the bumps they took, considering, you know, the Greatest Royal Rumble coming up on Friday, this for me was really, really good, and I liked it.
Look, I'm going to give you the show, period. The show as a whole is my Raw. Yeah, I think it was one of the better Raws that we've seen in quite some time as of lately. Because Elias versus Bobby Roode, I felt like that was a very good back and forth match. And how Elias won and came out on top. It just shows that they building something right there with a feud right there. Chad Gable and Jinder Mahal. And first off, I just want to tell people, look, if this is the Jinder Mahal we're going to get,
then I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with it. Because, look, I felt like Jinder Mahal, he came in there when he was cutting his part of the promo with Kurt Angle and Chad Gable. I felt like he wasn't boring on the mic. He cracked a couple of jokes and everything, compared him to the 10-year-old kid, Nicholas. Then he said, no, it can't be. Von Troyer died this past week. Like, he said mini me.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that he even got that joke in. Maybe too soon, but I still laugh. Sorry. But I just felt like when he was on the mic, he was consistent. He kept it pretty good and short. Mm-hmm. And if they continue to do that, I think a lot of times when they allow him to be on the mic for a very long time,
that's when people start turning.
Yeah,
because like, bad turn.
Yeah, because it becomes boring and shit. But then after that, he got in the ring. And the only thing I will criticize about that is when Chad Gable was attacking his knee and his leg and shit like that, I felt like he should have sold that more. But I think they were trying to sell that, look, I'm just bigger than you, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't beat me. I think, so I can see kind of both ways, which is why I kind of let that have a pass. Like you said, the Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, it just lets you know, and I hope this is a sign that WWE believes in both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to be main event stars, to allow them to go in there and pretty much stand toe-to-toe with Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman. You know, so I actually like that. I like the Baron Corbin segment with No Way Jose. Yo, just even him cutting that promo and saying, like, man, look, you got all these people with you and shit. Like, you know, then I'm supposed to get in the ring and wrestle you? Like, nah, you're not going to do that. Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and the Mysterized match. That actually, they gave them a little time. And for whatever reason, you ever notice that they actually allow Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, and when you look at some of their most recent tag matches that they've had, they've actually allowed them to get in a significant amount of offense.
Because they're not bad. Like, at one point, they believed in these dudes. Curtis Axel was the Intercontinental Champion. Mm-hmm. Bo Dallas was the NXT Champion. And wasn't he the Intercontinental Champion for a little bit?
No, he never won a championship.
I feel like he won it.
No.
But regardless, you know, so there was belief in them. Mm-hmm. It's just somewhere down the line, they got lost in the...
I think it's just the... I think it's really just... It comes down to creative. Making sure you help finish getting people over.
Mm-hmm.
I think Curtis Axel was a lot closer to being over than Bo Dallas ever was. But it's on creative to make sure that when people come to, honestly, when people watch a show, and this is the one problem with WWE, this is the one thing that we always criticize really with WWE. Is like, just make the matches competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you never put your wrestlers in a spot to where we just don't believe in them.
Right.
And
maintain the belief.
Right. Because, and I always go back to this, cheeseburger. There's always that belief
that he may just pull this out. He just may win because they don't allow Cheeseburger to just ROH is what I'm speaking of. They don't, even in New Japan. I think his last match I seen him wrestle in New Japan. Well, I know his last match I seen him wrestle in New Japan. They didn't just allow Cheeseburger to just get squashed. Even though this dude is probably like a $125 soaking wet. I mean, like, but they didn't. They don't allow him to just get squashed. You probably know that he's going to lose, but it's just, but when he actually wins now, you can sit there and believe like, oh shit, he figured it out. He's getting over the hump. And now look what he's going to be able to do. And he may not ever, they may not ever put him in a situation where, I mean, where he's going to be a top person. Mm. But I feel like if ROH did that, though, you're not going to sit there and say, well, this shit is just coming out of nowhere.
Right, right.
You know
right.
what I mean? And that's what I think the problem with WWE is. But anyway, and I like the 5-on-5 women's tag match. I feel like that was good, too. And I was surprised that they allowed them to close out the show. Mm. You know that was kind of crazy. Man, and there was some other things on the show that obviously I didn't like, and I'm gonna bring that up right now.
Oh,
yep. So I'm gonna get into my bad.
Oh, go ahead.
This one, it was almost a hard one for me because I'm like, who do I want to go at? Do I want to sit there and talk about Titus O'Neil? Or do I want to talk about Roman Reigns? And anybody who knows me know I dislike both these people in the ring. Not them personally. Just them in the ring. And I'm going to spare Titus the Ugly today.
Oh, look at you.
And I'm going to give him my bat. And here's the reason why. One, first off, I'm mad as shit that we're still stuck with Titus Worldwide on Raw. We couldn't send him over to SmackDown. I just don't understand. I don't understand why they couldn't go to SmackDown and reinvent themselves. And I only say that because I have been an advocate. You can go back and listen to all the past podcasts. I've always said I want Titus Worldwide to be something, to mean something and shit. And I feel like they should have moved Titus Worldwide to SmackDown and try to rebuild them back up from the ground up over there. Plus, they don't use Dana Brooke as a in-ring talent for whatever reason. You know, they mentioned all these WWE female wrestlers yesterday, and it's crazy because they don't even, it's like Dana Brooke is not a wrestler. It's like, and it's, the crazy thing is, it's not like they treat her like she don't have muscle on her. Mm-hmm. And like she can't move around the ring and shit like that. I don't understand why they treat Dana Brooke the way they do. Hopefully that changes in this year. Hopefully they give her more opportunities to try to showcase that, look, she can hang and allow her to get better. That's what I want to see. That's probably the reason why I want to see Titus Worldwide on SmackDown on the land of opportunities. Only because I feel like on SmackDown, and I know, you know, those motherfuckers over there repping that blue brand and shit, I gotta call y'all out like that. I know you guys are like, nah, this motherfucker crazy. But the only reason why I say this is because I feel like they have more of the opportunity to sit there and say, let's take a chance on this and see how it works. And I think that's the reason why we all love SmackDown so much. Just from years ago when they had the brand split. SmackDown was always better because they took the gamble on certain wrestlers and putting the title on them and stuff like that, that we were like, damn, how come they're getting it right over here? You know, and not here on Raw.
I think Raw is more political. It's like they got to have certain people with titles and have the belt on and stuff like that. And you can't necessarily try to gamble as much with who they want to be their top person. And that's a shame. It is that it has to be like that, which is the problem with having investors and all that stuff. Because all I care about is their bottom line, which is understandable to a certain degree. But you got to remember, we as fans care about the product, you fuckers. But anyway. But yeah, but Titus O'Neil and he just can't move in a ring like he should. Not like Apollo Crews can. And I'm so shocked that they chose Apollo Crews to actually be the one to really get his ass whooped in that ring. And then have to take the L. I didn't like that whatsoever. And I wish WWE would just either dismantle Titus Worldwide or make it better. Because at one point, it seemed like you was really going to start pushing him. You was kind of giving him that chance. And Apollo Crews was showing why. Hey, you know what? You may not have really made a mistake of putting me on the main roster. As long as you got Titus O'Neil as my mouthpiece, I think we can do some damage. Fortunately, WWE chose to go a different direction. And I don't know why. Anyway, you're bad, sir.
My bad is the finish to the 10-woman tag match. Only because I didn't think it was necessary to do a disqualification. I think we could have had a clear-cut winner. It didn't even have to be Nia Jax. I like the spots in the match. I like the flow of the match. I like the things they did in the match. Yeah. It just seemed kind of odd to end it with Ronda coming out and kind of causing a disqualification. Then they ring the bell. It was just, I don't want to call it a clusterfuck. I just want to call it like, did we think it all the way through first? Because I think the things they did served its purpose, but you could have had a winner and had a melee or something go on. Or you could have did everything you did, but still have a winner. Because Mickey could have just been pissed off and went after Natalya, something like that.
Here's the thing about that, too. Why are we treating Natalya like she's Dana Brooke? See, I can see something like, well, because how Natalya ended up, Mickey James ended up hurting her and she's on the damn...
But you can't think of it like that. It's a restart. I'm just saying. I get what you're saying, but...
I can't do that. And the only reason why I can't do that because we're acting like Natalya just didn't come off a championship run. See, that'd be different.
Well, she didn't come off a championship.
Well, no. This past year she did, though.
Oh, but that doesn't count. No, but it'd be, since she lost.
But it'd be different had we sat there and saw Natalya where she's still trying to come back from the Divas titles that she won.
This is a... But you can't... Okay, the way WWE operates, though, I know what you want to do, but that's just not how they operate. This is brand new. All that shit don't matter. So now we're starting over from scratch. That's why she did an interview and said, this is like a rebirth for me. So you spoke the idea behind it. So all I'm saying is the idea, I get it. The execution, though, I don't think it was well thought through. Not that it wasn't done well, because I like... You know, I liked everything that Nia did, and the pop she got was well deserved, and her dive off the apron was dope. We did that just to get to Ronda coming out. Like, we could have done that, got a winner, and Ronda still come out. Like, matches matter, and that's the only thing that bugged me.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, that. All right, so my ugly, obviously, is Roman Reigns. Just period. And it's not necessarily him, it's the position that he's being put in that obviously makes this ugly. We don't believe in you because WWE has made it to the point where we can't believe in you. And because every time you've gotten in the ring with Brock Lesnar, he beat the shit out of you. And then all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe that you going into a cage match with Brock Lesnar is going to change something. This is the corner that WWE has backed us into. I'm not saying that Roman Reigns won't win or whatever. It just makes it more likely for me not to care about this match
That's what it does. Because I'm like, you backed Roman into a corner to where now he's about to have this third match with Brock Lesnar after you allowed him to just get his ass busted open and his ass beat in the first two matches. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, and we've seen him talk so much shit. It's like the little brother that you got that always want to talk shit, but you know you're going to beat their ass and stuff. And that's why I feel like Roman Reigns is like, come on, man. Like, why are you even talking shit? You know I'm going to beat your ass. Like, you know this. Like, you can't just be running to mommy and think that you're going to be straight or whatever. I'm going to beat your ass. And I feel like that's what this is. This is like, you know you're going to get your ass beat. And I'm not too sure. And maybe WWE will shock us and say, all right, now it's time to get that title back on the show and everything. But I'm just not confident that Brock Lesnar is going to lose this title at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Oh, he's going to lose. I ain't worried about it.
I hope so. Honestly, I hope so. I want Roman Reigns to win. I wanted him to win at WrestleMania.
The whole point behind Roman.
But then they shouldn't have never made it Roman Lesnar at WrestleMania. They shouldn't have never did that shit.
Okay. Again, what are you watching?
I can understand. See, and here's the difference, though. I can understand the Nakamura and AJ Styles, though. Why? Because Nakamura put him in a position to where, no, you ain't going to have no choice but to give me a rematch. Mm-hmm. Because I'm there on your bumper each and every time you have a match. I'm coming through and I'm fucking you up. Which, dude, I'm not going to lie. Last week when I watched SmackDown, I fell off the couch dying laughing when Nakamura came out there and gave AJ Styles a low blow.
Oh, yeah.
His facial expression when he did it and then how he stared at Daniel Bryan. When he did that shit, I just started cracking up laughing, dude. That shit was hilarious. So he kind of put AJ Styles in that position. Mm-hmm. Whereas you guys just said, oh, we're just going to book Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again. And then it's like, why? You didn't allow us to sit there and say, damn, Roman was this close, though.
Right.
Like, not in that WrestleMania match. And if you felt like you did, you proved that, you felt like you said, yeah, Roman was this close, then I think you're lying to yourself. Like, because the way you booked those matches at both WrestleManias, man, this dude was nowhere near winning either one of these matches. And I have to say, that's why I'm not interested in this one. Because you could have even had the opportunity to sit there and make me feel like, all right, but Roman was really close. And then that's how you got me reinvested in seeing this match a third time. But the fact that he wasn't close in either matches, I just feel like this is ugly. The fact that I have to watch this on Raw and see y'all promote this shit. And to think that once again, you can have Roman come out, just cut a small, short, simple, straight to the point promo, which is one of the things that we always ask for. But to think that you can do that and still think that I'm going to be invested in this damn match, no, because you've already failed us on so many occasions, even when you could have gotten it right for WrestleMania. And honestly, Roman should have went over at WrestleMania, had the rematch at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and win again just to end that feud. And then we could start something new. But they didn't do that. So, fuck this. That was my ugly. Your ugly set.
I kind of had a hot tag. It was just a promo. I don't understand. Like, Paul Heyman's not going to be at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And I don't think this match needed more build or anything. They could have just stuck with the actual promo video that they
put together. Hey, hold on. I know he wasn't going to be there. Why are you going to be there?
He's not booked. The rumor is it has something to do with him being Jewish. I don't know.
Oh, that could be it.
whatever. But regardless, I'm not gonna speculate on stuff that I don't know is true or not. But regardless,
I'm just saying I can see that being that.
Yeah, but regardless, I don't. Even if he was coming, I don't see what that promo, how that promo was any different than any other one, which goes along with what you said. The match isn't any different than any other one. So it's just, I felt like maybe it's just my personal view where I'm like, just get it over with. Like, show the video package, get it over with, let's keep it moving. Them being in the ring together and arguing didn't build up the match anymore.
Show. I hope it opens the show.
Oh, no, it's not. It's definitely not. But you can't, again, you cannot look at this from an American fan standpoint, because this is not how it's going to work. Everywhere
that
else.
That is true. That is true.
Right. Everywhere
no,
else.
No, I always said. Reigns,
But
now you just Roman Reigns. I understand that in Saudi Arabia, that Brock Lesnar is going to be a huge draw.
Oh, he's going to be a huge draw?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is a huge draw. It's not about Brock Lesnar. The whole reason they're doing this match, where they're doing it, because if they had a big show anywhere but the U.S. and the U.K., he's getting in Japan, they cheer Roman Reigns. I'm just saying, everywhere else, Australia, wherever you want to name it, Mexico, Roman Reigns is the dude to them. And that's just what it is. And that's cool. That's what makes wrestling dope. So the idea behind the whole thing is
I just think if that's true, those people need to be drug tested. Shout out to my Australian people, though.
I mean, it's a...
He's trash.
You gotta remember.
No, I know, man. I'm just teasing, dude.
Yeah, I'm just saying, teasing. You gotta remember, it's just teasing, the way that they look at, like, other places look at the product. Now, my only thing is, and this isn't like a knock on Japanese wrestling fans or anything, I don't know why Roman Reigns is so over with them, with his moveset being what it is, and maybe it's the presentation of him and how they view, but everywhere else, wrestling is kind of looked at like it's supposed to be.
I give Roman this. Anytime you see Roman in the ring with somebody that can actually wrestle, his matches are always pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. It's really the thing for me, the reason why I'm not interested in this match, obviously, is because we've seen how this go time and time again. And it's not about whether or not if Brock is going to get in and whoop his ass. It's about the fact that I'm going to sit here and I'm about to watch another match where I see Roman Reigns throw 50 fucking million damn Superman punches, Brock Lesnar suplex him 50 million damn times, and then we're just going to get a shitload of spears and F5s. That's my
problem. And guess what? The fans in Saudi Arabia are going to go apeshit when he does all of that. Every time he does it, because that's what they like.
And that's just whatever.
I mean, different strokes, different folks. It's just like, you know, you like power wrestlers. You enjoy that. And it's just
like all wrestlers.
Yeah, but power wrestlers, too big.
I like big dudes that can move.
Two big dudes who can move is more your style, where I'm into more of the striking and stuff. So different stroke, different folks. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I could watch a match where it's mostly strikes and not a lot of, you know, suplexes and whatever, just because I like seeing people get hit hard way in wrestling matches. It's all about what you like.
Yeah, it's just, because really, for me, is I like to see big people being able to do small man
stuff.
It's always amazing to me. Always amazing.
See, I love watching Ishii,
like,
no sell.
Like, Keith Lee should not be able to do fucking moonsaults, but he's doing them. I like that shit. Vader should not have been doing moonsaults, but this big motherfucker can do it, and I love that shit. And he was a bruiser. That dude get in the ring, he beating your ass. I feel like Vader could have really... I think he could have done MMA back in his prime.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That dude...
Hey, he wrestled a whole match and finished it after having his orbital bone broke by Stan Hansen. Man. Anybody who could wrestle with a broken orbital bone and just finish the match out, you're a beast. Yeah. But I was going to say, and I enjoy watching Ishii no sell running forearms to the face and just look at you like, what is you doing?
Okay. That shit was funny.
Every time I watch that damn clip, I'm like, man, that's got to hurt as a young boy. Yeah. Like, come on, man. You couldn't just, you didn't budge.
Yeah.
Did me wrong.
All right, let's talk a little wrestling real quick. Oh, well, first off, I want to rebook. Let's do some armchair booking.
I don't really have anything. But
yeah.
Look, not from the show. You don't want to rebook anything. If nothing on here that you say, I wouldn't rebook.
I get why they booked the show the way they did, though. That's, so I never put thought into it because I'm like, oh, no, it's I'm just thinking of.
I understand that.
I mean, I guess the only thing different I would have done is, like I said already in the 10 women tag, instead of finishing it that way, have the match finish, then Ronda can come out. Why have her cause a disqualification? It just seemed kind of. Yeah. What was the point in all this then?
Yeah. I understand that. If I'm rebooking anything, it's really just going to be. I'd rather have seen Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews in a back and forth match with Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Only because I don't foresee WWE giving Dolph or Drew McIntyre at this point a hard push. Although, let me go back to, and I forgot to mention that. I like their promo too. Dolph Ziggler's and Drew McIntyre's promo. It was pretty good. But since I don't foresee them actually pushing them right now, and eventually, I almost want to know what's the point of Drew McIntyre being aligned with Dolph, unless you're talking about Dolph winning titles.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about an IC title run.
I think it's a throwback, though, to what they were doing previously.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about an IC title run. I'm talking about, unless you're talking about Dolph eventually winning the Universal title, I see no point in this whatsoever. Because for me, I think the point should be Dolph actually going and winning the Universal title. And at some point, you're going to get Dolph and Drew McIntyre feuding because Drew McIntyre is going to be that he's the diesel to Dolph Ziggler's Shawn Michaels. And that's what we should be building it up to. I think that makes sense. I don't think they're going to do it. So, since I don't think that's when they're going to do that, and I kind of rebooked that and Armchick booked that, I just felt like it should have been more of a back and forth match between Titus Worldwide and those two. Anyway, and real quick, let's talk wrestling, because I do have a question for you.
Yes.
WWE, we're going to get the greatest Royal Rumble this Friday. But I feel like WWE's kind of failed us as fans, because they did the Mae Young Classic, they did the Cruiserweight tournament and shit. But how come we haven't got part two to the Cruiserweight tournament? Or how come we not getting a part two to the Mae Young Classic? And I think for those, they should give us, that should be a annual thing, a yearly thing, where, look, you just taking the best cruiserweights. You really displaying all this talent, but you also putting it on your network, so you making money off of it at the same time. You don't always have to have your people go over too, as far as winning the tournament. I mean, as far as if you want them to win the tournament. But I think you can end up having an outsider and the person that you actually want to win the tournament go against each other at the end or whatever. And I think the same thing for the women's Mae Young Classic. Why is this just a one-off thing? Like, this should be an annual.
I don't think either is a one-off thing. It's just about scheduling. It's not going to be. I know that they're planning on doing another Mae Young because they announced it already.
Oh, did they?
It's just a matter of getting the talent to be able to do it.
I heard they are looking at signing Tessa Blanchard, too.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work right now because she just signed with Impact. So
did she?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have just happened there.
Yeah. They probably did first.
Did that just happen this past week?
Yeah, it happened
at that's why, because I read this last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she showed up at Impact's pay-per-view this past weekend. But they're going to do a Mae Young again. They didn't announce Cruiserweight Classic. I think part of the Cruiserweight Classic problem is They pretty much dove into that pool and got what they could get out of it.
But I don't think it should be about diving in and grabbing who you want, though.
I think it should just be about putting in content. I get what you're saying. Yeah. What I'm saying is, again, though, they dove in and they got who they got, but those people also got scene, right? Yeah. So Lucha Underground was like, I'm gonna sign that guy. Yeah, and ROH was like, I'm gonna sign that guy. And New Japan was like, we're gonna sign that guy at Impact. So now you have this talent pool that may or may not be there. Now you have your Leo Rushes that you already have that use, but then who are you plugging those spots? Who's available? And then thinking from a Triple H mentality or whatever, I'm gonna give it time to build up, like I'm gonna scout. I'm gonna give it time to try to get those people. But if there's a guy I really want, like let's say Dragon Lee, if they really want Dragon Lee in it, but they know that he's not gonna be available if we do this in July, do I wait so I can get Dragon Lee in it? So it's all about availability of people. Like for example, two of the best right now, Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier. Desmond Xavier is signed to Impact Wrestling. Zachary Wins isn't really signing anybody, but those two are committed to each other to be a tag team. So they've been working at AAW. They go to they tour Dragon Gate. If you come to them, like first of all, you can't just pull.
Obviously, you can't just pull.
So now you got that.
They sign people.
Try to get Zachary Wins. Is he going to go? And then also, you got to think of when they start talking to these different talents, are you going to get a Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi who's like, yeah, I'll do it, but I ain't signing to y'all. Is that what you want? So
I mean, I think that's fine.
It'd be cool, yeah. Me and you would love that.
Yeah.
Just like
me. I don't think they have to do it to where they want to sign people.
Right.
I think you should want to do it because it's a presentation. It's a tournament. It's to show the greatest cruiserweights in the world and put them on display. And that's all you want to do. And you want to be able to say that we put this together and shit. And because you're going to make your money because of that.
Right. But WWE doesn't look at things that way, unfortunately. You know? New Japan, when they do it, when they do the best of Super Juniors, they bring in people. People get signed. Some people only are there for that. And they, you know, the unfortunate thing with WWE, it's a business and it's their business model, but it's like a... pretty much everybody who was in the Cruiserweight Classic got signed.
Yeah.
Almost everybody, if you think about it, except for Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi. So they look at it like, okay, how do we get all these people? Now, could they do the Cruiserweight Classic and still have all the Cruiserweights in it and then plug in other people? Yes, that would be the idea. But my thought process is that's not what they're going to try to do. They're not going to, because to me, it's your tournament, like you said.
Yeah.
Put in people, you know, use your Cedric Alexanders and whoever, put them in the tournament just like Best of Super Juniors is, and then, you know, you got like four empty spots. Plug in some of the best guys around the world that aren't part of WWE. And then build up somebody, like a Tony Nese wins and you're like, wow, Tony Nese killed him.
And I think that's what they should be doing.
But they don't think
that. And with the Mae Young Classic, I think that's the same thing.
Yeah, and this should be all women. I feel like they should just put the whole... Anybody on the roster who's not a champion, it should be eligible.
Right.
And not just, let's get, not, it, this is, it should
I think
be
he has to be a champion. Because you got to remember, look how many times Okada been in those tournaments.
Oh, yeah, I agree, but it's not to that
point. And he
point
lost.
Yet. I feel you, but it's not to that point yet. I agree, but I think the way you, in the beginning, I don't know if it's the best idea to put a Charlotte in there, only because now you're in a position where Charlotte kind of got to win a lot. And are you really building up anybody? Whereas if you do it with the talent pool
but
you
have... that's how you build up somebody. Because I'm going to put it to you like this.
Okay.
And because I see your point, but here's the flip side. This is devil's advocate. But this is how you can build up the next female. Because that person that knocks off Charlotte in the tournament, because that loss ain't going to mean nothing to Charlotte. True. Because the one thing I would always, and I think this is what New Japan did a great job with, You can either build a storyline from it, or you either just separate the tournament from what's going on from on the show, and stuff. And it's just one or two things. That's all you have to do.
Yeah,
because that loss that Charlotte would take in a tournament really wouldn't mean anything. It would not to her. It would mean something to that person that beat her. And then now you're like, oh shit, you know. Throw a name out there. Nikki Cross beat Charlotte in the tournament.
Yeah.
Man, she might be the next one. You know, I mean, it's just those. That's the reason why it's important that they actually bring these things back. And like you said, I like your model. I like, yeah, we're going to use the people that we have on our roster
but we don't implement these other people. But I think it, I think they have to separate the tournament from everything else, because I mean, I think you can use it, unless you want to use it to build a feud, like something happened, this, you've just built a feud off of that. But I don't want any outside interruptions that causes somebody to lose the tournament. I don't want that. I just want to flat out, these two, they're going to go at it, they're going to put on a good show, and let's see who wins.
Yeah.
And everything. And that's what it should always just be about when it comes to the tournament. It's about that. It definitely should be about that next person up.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. Because I do realize one thing for sure. They're never going to have somebody win that's not signed.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But I think the great thing is, too, you're willing to go out to get all this other talent. And that allows them to show what they can display on your network or whatever, or through this tournament. And it shows that, you know, WWE actually have working relationships outside of their own people, and they, and their interest is to actually put on a great product versus let me try to
sign force, as much as I can, yeah, and force my hand on how I think.
Yeah, and I think that's what
I
made
think it's going to come with Triple H.
Because the Mixed Match Challenge wasn't anywhere near as good as the Mae Young or the Cruiserweight Tournament, because you knew going in there that Asuka and The Miz were going to win, because Asuka wasn't going to be losing anytime soon. Well, she wasn't going to be taking the L.
Not at that point.
Right. And it was like you booked yourself, you handicapped yourself, and she shouldn't have never even been in that tournament in the first place. I wouldn't have never done that. Because I know some people would be like, see, that's probably why Charlotte, that's why Charlotte should have beat Asuka at WrestleMania. No, that shit was foolish. Asuka just, they should have never put Asuka in certain situations.
Yeah.
Period. She shouldn't have been in the Royal Rumble, I believe. And she shouldn't have never been.
Well, how were they going to get her in a title match with Charlotte, though?
Shit, how did they get Nia Jax in a title match?
I'm just saying,
there are other ways to
that's
do it.
That's an argument another day. Asuka was the right choice for me. If it wasn't going to be Nia, then Asuka was the next choice. Who else were you going to have?
Oh, yeah, of course. But I would have had Nia go against Charlotte, actually. But to be honest with you, I think.
Maybe later.
I think they probably should have moved her to SmackDown. This is my personal opinion. You know, but either way it go, what my personal opinion is versus what WWE can get creative and do is another thing. You know what I mean? But that's, look, I'm just throwing it out there. It's their job to be creative and actually do the shit. And what do you have this job for if you can't do it?
It's true.
You know, but I can see your point where Asuka could have been in the Royal Rumble and not affect anything. But as far as her being in a Mixed Match Challenge, though, she should have never been in that. They should have kept her out of that.
We should have just planned the Mixed Match Challenge a little bit better in the first place. But
yeah, it was. I know they were trying to do something on Facebook and generate viewership on there. I think the problem is that you got too much storyline. You got too much, we don't really want Braun Strowman to be taking losses. Or, you know, when it comes to tournaments, I don't think they should handicap themselves about who and who cannot take losses. And that's how I just feel. And I think that's where New Japan had got it right. They don't care about who.
But they still protect people. Because Okada's not losing to just anybody. You feel me?
No, of course not. But Okada is still taking losses in the tournament.
One.
But he, was it just one?
I think it was one. I
thought he took two losses.
I think it was one in a draw.
See, but then again, though, we're also talking about your champion. So obviously, you know, the story should be, man, it's either you have to really take him out to win, or it is going to take it to a draw because he's that good. He is not like, so, and that's what I mean by with Charlotte. I mean, it's not like I'm saying Charlotte should take a first round loss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, Charlotte could take a loss later on in the tournament, and she finally going against somebody that is just their time right now. You know? And I don't know, man. Just my thoughts on it. But anyway, that'll do it for this week's The Raw, The Bad, The Ugly. Be sure to check out 1515 app and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just type in 1515 NAF, and you'll find other podcasts such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Studio Flow, The MWT Podcast, and Mac and D Talk TV. Also, if you want to just go straight to our podcast versus going through all those, you can just type in Wrestling, RASSLIN, Roundtable, and you'll find the GTS and RBU podcast along with our special events or pay-per-view podcast. Also, be sure to click on the Amazon banner. Go support the site. We greatly appreciate that. I don't know what holiday we got coming up, so just take your ass on there and buy something.
Shoot!
All right. Shoot! Check out the iHeart Wrestling page, too. Ask to join if you're interested. And with that said, it's me, Store the Pearl.
It's Miller!
And we out.